Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Chris and Abby. It's a great joy to be with you this morning, and a privilege to journey with you, Chris and Abby, to watch a couple come through in a local house from kind of scratch, even though Abby was in Mauritius Church that we planted, also had a season there, then mysteriously how God brought it to Red Point, and Chris used to drop her off at Red Point and sit in the car park while she came to church because he didn't know the Lord. I don't know what you were doing with him, Abby, but he came in, got saved, and isn't that amazing? It's a great privilege to be here. My wife, Cutty, is joy to me, and massive gift. She's pursued God beyond my wildest dreams and expectations. She's found God, not through easy times, and she's walked. So I don't stand up here alone, and Andrew and Fee, it's a great privilege to be here. What a time in our history, and what a privilege to ordain a couple. Mark and Liesel, it's a great honor, wherever you are, sitting in the distant bleachers down there. Please come sit here. Please come sit in front. Are you sitting with your mom? Come, Mom. 1, 2, 3. I see 3 chairs. Come, Cheryl. In fact, you should almost be sitting right in the middle here, but I won't put you under that kind of pressure. So, and what I'm going to do for also Noah and Mia, it's a huge thing, the family. You know, I just hear preacher's kids. Preacher's kids are bent, buckled. But actually, you've seen preacher's kids do well, eh, Cheryl? and so it's all of you. And so what I'm going to do this morning, and the hour is urgent, brothers and sisters, and we are moving away from teaching about overseers. And we kind of just say, listen, we're just going to throw a few scriptures out and lay hands and God will do the rest. But I'd like to take the occasion, if I could, to speak to you about eldership this morning from a scriptural point of view. So what does the Bible teach about elders? And today's an official day, an ordination. It's from the word order. It's an official day. It's in the life where there's an official consecration biblically where something official happens. It's a big moment. And it's a spiritual office. There's an authority that God recognizes, he honors, and he confers something upon a couple. And how do you as the congregation respond to an elder? So in 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, here is a trustworthy saying. So Paul is kind of older now. He's walked, and he says in 1 Timothy 3:1 says, here is a trustworthy saying. In other words, what he's saying is you can rely on this. You can take your stand on this saying. A trustworthy saying means it's something that you can believe in. It's a reliable saying. You can say, okay, God, we take this as trustworthy. In today's day and age, you're thinking, well, you know, what is an elder? What? No, this is a trustworthy saying. If anyone, and I like that, so I underline, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer or a bishop or a pastor, what does it mean to set your heart, Mark? Well, I was flying one time and coming out of an airplane, and we were flying from Durban to Bloemfontein, and the plane seemed to fly up the Berg Mountains, and it just, I thought, what? And I was sitting in the cockpit next to the pilots, and it was flying, and the wind was blowing, and the plane was like a little, like a piece of paper flying in the wind, you know? And next minute, we were moving, and I could just see these mountains. And I said to the pilot, where are we going, bro? And he says, stand by. And he flipped through his book, and he looked, and he saw Bloemfontein Airport, and he turned the buttons. And he said, that's it. I said, is that it? He said, yeah, these settings will take us to Bloem. Relax, Nick. You're looking a bit panikarach. So I said, gee, but, and it's just like, it was so eerie because I thought, if we fall here, we've got nowhere to land. But to set your heart, what are the settings? How do you set your heart? Do you know what the office is? And it's so helpful when a congregation blesses the elders, amen? Man, it's so good to see you guys, eh? This morning. It's just so nice to see you guys. In this pandemic, that you're actually saying we're coming out. But if anyone set, what are the settings? And I've often thought, you've got to get the settings right. Elders, Chris and Abby are still getting their settings right. I'm still getting my settings right. I'm trying to find out what this is. It's what are the biblical settings of being an elder? You can't set your heart. He had to look up Bloemfontein. I remember he went through some things. You've got to find the settings of what it is to be an overseer. And there may be some young men here this morning that you will be overseers, you will be bishops, you will be elders, you will be pastors. Some of you older guys, we just ordained a guy in our church together with Chris. How old is Dave? 58. Some of you, God might say, come Caleb, I'm going to ordain you. He might take an 18-year-old, a young David in the house, and there might be some oil. And so the settings of our hearts, set your heart. He desires a noble task. One of the mistakes I made is I went to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13. Because God said, hey, Nick, you're an elder. So I thought, okay, or a leader. And so I've used the word, I'm a wur, I'm a W-U-R. So in Deuteronomy, it says, choose some wise, understanding, and respected men. So I thought, I remember my sister said I was a wise man as a kid. So I thought, no, I'm wise. understanding, yeah, I think I understand the church, and respected, now I think I'm that, and I thought that is simple, I get it, but it's not enough. So what I thought I would also do is, just for you, Mark and Liesl, just if you look at Ezekiel chapter 34, so it's not enough just to be wise, respected, and understanding. One of the things that if I can possibly find Ezekiel 34, this is the kind of text that sends shivers down my spine. And I'd like you just to find Ezekiel for me. And so what I want to do this morning is let the Spirit of God rest on you. Let the anointing of God. And when I read Deuteronomy 1:13, I thought, I can do this. But when I read Ezekiel 34, I begin to shake at my knees, because it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and said to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel. Now I speed read this. I always speed read it while I look at my phone and what's happening on Instagram. No, not Instagram, but you know, it's not the kind of text, because if I look at this text, I begin to shake at the knees. Amen? Can somebody say amen? So what does it say? Woe to you, shepherds of Israel. You're only taking care of yourselves. And I think, gee, Lord, sometimes that's me. I feel like sometimes I'm more important than your flock. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves. Of course, that's what a meta, you know, that was shepherds would do with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak. Lying in bed thinking, hey, I haven't seen this brother or the sister. They're weak, but I haven't strengthened them. I haven't healed the sick. I haven't bound up the brokenhearted or the injured. You have not brought back the strays. I've sat with stray sheep sometimes. It's hectic. I mean, I've taken them out for lunch and they stray further. And I say, Lord, I can't do this. And the injunction for us as elders and the elders in the house is, have you brought back the strays? Sometimes we have. And generally we feel this is hard, as they say in Australia. It's too hard. It's too hard, Lord, because they don't want to be rescued, God. You know, they. I remember we went to Cutting Out, was a poignant moment. We went to a couple's marriage was in absolute tatters. And we went and we knocked on their door. And the husband said, welcome. And the wife said, please leave the house. We were, you know, kicked out of a house. And we're standing there like, now surely, I mean, we're nice people. Everybody loves us. We've come to bind up the broken marriage. She said, please, I don't want to see you. Tell them to leave the house. I remember walking down those stairs into Innes Road, thinking, we've just been kicked out of the house. I don't want to do this, God. Bind up the brokenhearted. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. So I'll commission you, Mark, to look at Ezekiel 34 and fall on your knees like all elders should. It's a difficult job, but... So in other words, it's not just Deuteronomy 1:13, it's also Ezekiel 34. And let me just go back a little bit here. So what happens here is that, sorry, my pages are all messed up. That's not very good. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 3. It's very important. Are you all there? While I find my feet. So 1 Timothy 3. Let's stay there. What is it to be an elder today in God's church? You know, when sets his heart, he desires a noble task. It's so important. I have to find my pages here. What is a noble task? It's a task that is highly esteemed. That's what noble is. It's a standard word. It's an elevated task. It's a task that requires character. They hold themselves excellently. Isaiah 32:8. But the nobleman makes noble plans. By noble deeds he stands. Proverbs 31, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. What is a noble task? You've set your heart on a noble task. It's an honorable. You care for people. A true nobleman, not like you see in these period movies where you've got these noble sort of lords and madams, and they're actually very average. But a true noble person is that everybody matters. If you say that is a noble leader, that leader, to that leader, the rich, the poor, the elevated, those that have struggled, they matter. They respect everybody. They give dignity. Noble people give dignity to all. They uphold the poor. They uphold justice. They do things with excellence, like Jesus. Jesus did everything with excellence. He even turned over the money table with excellence. Amen? He even said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He was a noble man, Jesus. He said to the Pharisees, you are whitewashed tombs. He said, you make people double sort of followers of hell. He was noble, but he was straight. And sometimes the nobleman has to do difficult things. Amen? But he's a respected and admired and unselfish, a well-prepared person. He is never sloppy. A noble task, a noble person is never sloppy, never unprepared. Amen? He never buys jeans with holes in them. My dad says, how can you buy jeans, Cutty, with holes in them? It didn't make sense. I said, no, that's the modern way. Is an excellent speaker, has trained himself. You know, people say, oh, Nick, you know, at a wedding, like, you know, that's a really good speech, you know. You're just a gifted orator. I said, no, it took me 3 hours to prepare that preach. I preached it to the trees and to Cutty 3 times. So sometimes you've got to prepare yourself, amen? It's a noble task. Articulates well-groomed, of noble birth. What does that mean? It means high-born. Well, that's not me because I'm low-born. In fact, my dad was told that he shouldn't marry my mom because he didn't come from this right family. Do you know that? He said, you're not going to stop me from marrying that girl. That's why my dad's my hero. But noble means high born of Jesus, born again. Don't worry about where you come from. Worry that you are born again. Must I enter my mother's womb a second time? No, you must be born of the Spirit, because my Spirit will come upon you, and I will make you an elder or a bishop or an overseer, and I will put a noble birth, a born again from on high. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And you must keep hold of the deep truths, Mark. Deep, bro. I mean, in preparing this, I've spent the last 2 days re-preparing. I was going to preach something. I re-prepared this, and I thought, hey, Lord, this thing of eldering. Your son might be an elder, ma'am. Your daughter might go into ministry. And actually, it's so good for this community, this amazing church on Main, that actually you'll produce leaders. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be days where I've actually thought, Lord, I'm the wrong guy. I'm the wrong guy, God. I'm the wrong guy. You chose the wrong guy. You should have chosen that guy. God says, shh, 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 keep going. Keep going. Do you know that's when my mom died? I literally felt. When my mom died, I literally felt a bit of her. Because you know why? I didn't realize how much she prayed for me. I didn't realize how much. At times, I would just be like a lion. I don't know why. When my mom died, I just felt an ebb. And then Cutty started praying for me. She prays for me. And I thought, actually, I'm so weak that I need the prayers of Cutty. I'm so vulnerable at times, can get so confused with leadership in the church. Want to run a mile sometimes. Get so back-footed, Mark, when things go against you. But actually, we need the prayers of one another. And so keep hold of the deep truths. Now, overseers must be above reproach. Can I read it quickly? It must be above reproach. What is the word reproach? You might think, gee, Nick, you're going to go through every word. No, I won't. But above reproach means that when people are expressing disapproval about you, you are not above reproach. It means that you always need to be rebuked. It means that you need to be recalled or impeached. That's what it actually means. It means if you're above reproach, they can't keep blaming you or shaming you or criticizing or upbraiding you, to use some good old words. that you're above blameworthy conduct, that we don't need to censure you severely. That's what it is to be above reproach, just that. I'm not a word, which is just so easy. I've got to go through each one. And it says, don't be above reproach. The husband of but one wife. I'm a one-woman man. Not, you know, we're looking around the world and I see these marriages that are popping. Guys have been in ministry for 20, 30 years, popping. Their marriages are popping. I understand because I understand how much pressure they may be under. But I want to say this. When I marry people, you know, they say, Nick, you know, please, you know, just make sure you're not too long and, you know, the bride's going to come in and the songs and the cake and everything. I've got one purpose in mind at a marriage, what God binds together. My single purpose. I don't care if the bride trips. I don't care. I don't like all the stupid jokes sometimes, if I can be honest. But my number one task is not, I went to a wedding where the guy says, you mustn't separate this couple. I'm thinking, no, I have one job, what God joined together. My job as a standing up there as a good old pastor is to say, God, bind this couple together so that no man can separate them. And if you get that, you get gold, amen? So that we don't live 20, 30, 40 years and we think, you know what, Kati, cheers, girl. It's been too hard. Like, we'll be nice to each other and it's been this and it's been that, but you know what, whatever, our differences are, you know what, I'm just tired. I'm out. Do you know how much that's happening? Watch the effects of COVID. Guys, there's tension, amen? And so the husband of but one wife, temperate, not up and down, temperate, steady, from a weather word, self-controlled. No one must control you, Mark. You have to control yourself, bro. You know, if no one's there, I can do what. No, self-control. Isn't that amazing? Respectable, hospitable. Come to my house. Come, I'll have you. Come. Hospitable, able to teach. Oh, I'm not a teacher. You can't be an elder if you can't teach. You must be able to teach. Not preach like Billy Graham, able to teach. You know, not preach. I remember Dudley Daniel. I think, where does the guy get his authority? Don't worry about that. Your job, Nick, as an elder, is are you able to teach? Now I'm prophetic. I've spent hours and hours and hours trying to learn the Bible so I can teach it. Like I'm trying this morning. I'm not saying I'm doing a good job, but I'm trying. Amen? People say to me, you must stop trying to teach. You must be a preacher. You're a prophetic preacher. In Australia, an American man rebuked me. He says, you're fiddling around in the shallow water. Prophesy. I said, sorry, sir, my job is able to teach. Yes, I can prophesy. I can just wing it a bit, but I want to learn how to teach. I've got to spend a lot of time there because I'm not so good at that. Not given to drunkenness, which means a little bit tipsy. Just means my face is shining. I'm suddenly all happy. I'm quite a serious guy normally, but now I'm all happy. Hello, everybody. I'm tipsy. I'm in a dangerous place. Because the devil says, strike him now. His guard is down. He's not being governmental over his own soul here. Be careful. Got to be careful. Amen? Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Quarrelsome. Disputing, often. Can't be. You got to be a man of peace. Are you still there? Are you breathing? Can I carry on, Tomo? Not a lover of money. I remember as a young guy, there was a dispute with a guy coming out from America. They said the Elangeni Hotel, and I heard an inside story. He said, I want 5,000 rand. This is 1980, which is about how much, 100 grand today? He wants 5,000 rand, and he wants to stay at the Elangeni Hotel. And because I knew some of the pastors of this church, I heard as a young man this leak, and God said, you're paying attention. I mean, they've started off being, hey, it doesn't matter. I know a guy took an 80% cut in his salary as a pastor 20 years ago. He may have been good then, but you got to keep going. I can't be a lover of money. It's something that I have to fight. I have to fight that I actually, I say, Lord, I want some more, please. Can I have some more? I'm a nice guy, Lord. I want another and a bigger and more. And nicer shoes, please, God. Now, it's good. Don't be a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect, which has caused some pastors to be harsh on their kids. And the poor kid said, "Dad, can I dial out of your world?" But that's not, you know, it's an art. And I know you've done it well, guys. And obviously, Cheryl, you've done it well. If he can't take care of his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. What? Fall under the same judgment as the devil, elder. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise. Every deacon reads that text and it applies to us likewise. Isn't that amazing? So, let's see what Paul says in Acts. This is the letter to Timothy. This is in Acts when he says goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He says, "I'm not going to see you again." And he charges the Ephesian elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Only the Holy Spirit. You can desire the task. It's a noble task. "Lord, I want it. I want it." But the flip side of the coin is, "of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." So sometimes we make the mistake, you can actually make the mistake, is there's no anointing for eldership of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And I don't know if hands have been laid on me, I'm saying, "God, put your anointing on me." And I'm going to ask God, Mark, to put his anointing upon you that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. That he will come upon you and anoint you and quicken you and make you and gift you and equip you and form you and shape you and establish you as an overseer. And all the people say, "No, this is an overseer." He may not be, you know, all the things that he wants to be, but he is an overseer of his church. Even people can study. I know guys came to our church that came in as interns from America. I won't name the denomination. They'd been studying for 7 years to be elders. 7 years to lead churches, and they came out to do a mission trip. So they came to Africa, and they found themselves in our church, and I brought them into the elders' meeting. What was interesting is they both studied to be pastors, and then when they would go back, they would go and be interviewed by a whole lot of churches, and she would lead one church, and he would lead the other church. I said, "What?" So she would be interviewed by churches, and she would have her flock, and he would have her flock. Their hope was that it wouldn't be too far apart. I said, "Where will the kids go?" "I don't know." But it wasn't, I thought, okay. "But you won't separate me from this girl." You won't. We'll, amen. Is that okay? Be shepherds. There's some guys say it's a double affirmative. It's certainly a very, be shepherds of the church of God. Of the church. In other words, are you in a local church? If you're not in a local church, you don't have shepherds. If you don't have shepherds, you're in trouble. I often speak to people. In fact, I spoke to good old Lynn Thorpe that we go back 25 years at Glenridge. I said, "Lynn Thorpe was at the ladies." Anybody know Lynn Thorpe? I said, "Lynn, do you go to a church?" She said, "Yes, of course, Nick." I said, "Do you still love Jesus?" She said, "Of course I love Jesus." I said, "What church do you go to?" She said, "Signal Church." I said, "Praise God." Do you know how many sheep are not under shepherds? You think when Jesus, and we say, "No, it's fine, as long as you love Jesus," as people tell me all over KwaZulu, "No, I love Jesus, go to church." No. Who's your shepherd? No, Jesus. Be shepherds of the church of God. Are you in a local church? Are there shepherds? Do the shepherds oversee it? Has the Holy Spirit made you? Has the Word trusted and informed us? Are you a good sheep? I'm also a sheep. I'm part of the flock of God. I want to be a sheep. I want to work well with leaders. Amen. The danger is shepherds can be hirelings, not true shepherds. Time will tell. Goats can think they're sheep, but they're not. They're goats. They got fur. They don't have wool. Their tails are up. Should be down. Sheep put their heads down and eat. Goats browse. They're always looking. Internet, this guy. No, he's just always browsing. If you can keep a sheep in a fence, you can keep water in the fence. I mean, goats. Goats find ways to do their own things. Who leads sheep? Shepherds. Who leads goats? Goats. Goats lead goats. Shepherds, if you leave sheep, they are not designed to not have a shepherd. These metaphors, brothers and sisters, in 2021, it's just, we're just messing with all the stuff. We are messing with it. But God has given us a way. He's trained us in a way that we should go. Be shepherds of the church of God. And then he says, and I watched this YouTube thing of this guy on a farm in America. He had all his cattle, and they were just coyotes every night. Just coyotes. So he would sit there, we'd hire guys, and they would sit with his sights and just shoot the coyotes. I thought, how amazing is that? So the shepherd can say, you know, are there coyotes here? Well, you know, coyotes mean a lot of battles. Thank you, I'd rather pass. Well, this is also a tick-infested pasture. Nah, or maybe, I know there's a situation where some sheep were struggling to give birth, so the shepherds had to always be there at the birth. So the shepherds had to be midwives. You'd hear them bleating in the middle of the night. The shepherd had to get up. Well, I don't know that's a hireling. But a true shepherd will say, I will be a shepherd of this flock. Imagine being a shepherd in Syria today. Not Syria, Afghanistan today. Are you one of the shepherds? All the 20 years, the Afghans that have been converted from Islam, now they're shepherds. Now they can lose their lives very quickly. You went from an Islamic thing to a Christian thing, and the church is praying for them. Hey, be shepherds. These sheep nip. Nipping sheep. Be shepherds. Cheeky sheep. Are these cool sheep? I want a cool church. You're a hireling, bro. I met a guy. He said, you know, I spoke on sons and servants. An elder, he said, I've moved churches 6 times, and I think I'm a hireling. Because whoever offers me more money in America, I move to. I said, thank you for being so courageous, sir. He says, I think I'm a hireling. Because in America, if it doesn't work, you just phone and say, any jobs going? Actually, this is a tough, we're going through, this is tough, I can't do this. Can I move somewhere else? Can I move where the money's better? Shepherds lay down their lives for the sheep. Be shepherds, a very strong injunction. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. Now you think, Paul, you're getting a heffy, bro. Just chill, Paul. You're living in a, there's something wrong with you, Paul. I know that after I leave, when I leave, you see, Paul had this authority. Savage wolves will come in among you. It's been happening for 2,000 years, but it's just stopped for the last 50 years. There's no such thing as wolves, I'm told. They're just like cheeky sheep. No, Paul said, the Spirit breathed. Old-fashioned term, misguided. He uses, you know what I love about the scripture? It's clear and unambiguous. I was actually preaching that day, and I saw this guy in our church. I thought, So I don't know what it was. I just followed him. As I finished preaching, I don't often do this. I followed him all the way. Right. I said, sir, my name's Nick. How are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, tell me about yourself. Where are you? What's happening? And it just started coming out. And I don't agree with your elders. So I'm thinking, and how dare you? And I'm just thinking, another incident a week later, fourth time. I said, sir, would you come in? Please, sir, would you go? Would you leave this church now? You're causing havoc here. This is the flock of God. But it's interesting, I thought, if he says sorry, I thought, there's something terribly wrong here. But, oh, it's fine. Wolfy, wolfy, sheepy, sheepy, foxy, foxy. We don't know what you are. Maybe you're a jackal. No. There has to be peace in the house of God. I wasn't popular. Oh, it wasn't a happy meeting. You actually feel terrible afterwards. There will be savage wolves. They will not spare the flock. He'll destroy them, eat them. Even from your own number, he goes further. Guys, I tell you what, there's things going on in the church now that are so, there's so much breadth. They just ordained a transgender person, and there's havoc in this particular denomination, again in America. I think born a girl, the doctor said, you know, she's a girl, but the doctor thought she was a girl, but he got her drunk because the essence of this person is a boy, and today he's a shepherd, but born a girl, but he's a shepherd, or the other way around. I'm just thinking, Lord, it's chaotic. It's chaotic. And so I wonder what it's going to do to the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise. Men will arise and distort the truth. Mark, are you up to the task? Are you up to the task, elders? It's a strong one. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, sorry, I'm pressing it, guys, and I'm running out of time. For 3 years, I've never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. hold the line, Ephesian elders. Then go and read. I don't have time because I'm running. Go and read what happened to the Ephesian church in the book of Revelation. They did to some extent. Now, I commit to you, elders, 32. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. So he's committed us to this word, and we take this word. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. This is what this great apostle, this man that was on the mountain transfiguration, this great apostle that walked in the water, this great apostle that Jesus singled him out on the beach and said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And he says, as a fellow elder, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. I'm just a shepherd, bro. Don't call me this big apostle. As a witness of Christ's sufferings, I saw how they smashed him, how they beat him, how they blindfolded him, how they pierced him, how they put a crown of thorns on his head. As a witness of Christ's suffering and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed, he says, we're not going to get much glory on this earth. And as pastors, we want to be loved and loved. And he says, but as a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who will share in the glory to be revealed, it's still coming. Be shepherds of God, of the flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, as bishop, as episcopos. And so John Piper says, you've got to see, you've got to be an overseer, you've got to take responsibility for it, and you've got to act. A lot of guys can see. Can you see? Did you see what happened? But that's your responsibility, shepherd. You've got to, and then you've got to act. You can't see, you must see to it. Don't you like that? Can you see to it? Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over. I'm thinking, Lord, this is a big job. Help. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. It's a big job. But being an example to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. I want to close with one scripture. Won't you come up, please? Come up, guys. Won't you stand up, church? Tomo, can I ask the elders to come forward and stand with us, please? Come stand close by. You've got to get on the fancy stuff here. Come, guys. Come, Kati. Come, Chris, if I can call you up. In other words, there's a recognition here. I will lay hands on them, but we recognize as elders, this team is in unity about this, and we recognize this. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13, I've spoken to him as strongly as I can, and we're trusting for God to empower them through the word. Amen. And it says to you as the church in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders. It's a tough one that sometimes. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. No one tells me what to do. Somebody said, no, sir. Obey your leaders and submit to the authority. They keep watch. They oversee over you as men who must give an account. They actually will be asked of these men, give an account for that person. It scares me, doesn't it? But our side is to submit our lives. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. I've said all this in the hope and trusting that the Holy Spirit will make you overseers, and that you've set your heart and you've desired a noble task, and that this is not new to you. And I want to ask you to come up, Cheryl, and stand behind your kids. There's an amazing legacy here. And would you open your hearts and just, you know, if you do this well, God will come. And so, Lord, even this morning, we know that there's many scriptures, Lord, where people were just set apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I've called them. Titus, go and make straight. Go and appoint elders in every city that I directed. An elder must be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this very morning, Lord, Nick, can you hold this mic, please? This morning, Lord, it's not me, it's you. It's your word, God. It's your power, God. It's your quickening, God. It's your enablement, Lord. For can I say, God, what seems to me like an impossible job? And I ask you, God, to put your authority and your government and your nobility and your spirit, Lord, upon this man and this woman, to be called to a job, Lord, that is, oh my, can I just sit down, maybe hide in the baggage, for the job is immense and will be in 2025 and 2030. But I pray for your grace, I pray for your strength, I pray for your governance. I think of the word serving as overseers, that they would serve like never before, God. That, Father, they would go and mind your word, that they would sit together on the couch for hours saying, we've got to sort that part of our marriage out. We've got to get through it. I pray, God, for your anointing and your power. I pray for the long-range elder here, God, that can get up in the middle of the night and go for a long walk to find a stray, a lost, a broken, a bruised, to fight a wolf with all of their strength if they need to, God, to protect this church, Lord, that you bought with your precious blood, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you break this man's heart open, as perhaps you're doing, Lord, and put your spirit in him, your governance and your authority, because this job ain't going to be any easier in the days and years and weeks and months to come. But, Father, we're asking you for strong shepherds, men who are full of unity and grace and power and passion. Hold this marriage together, Lord. Hold this family together, God. Bless this house with shepherds, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We set them in office and we lay our hands very gently on this couple. It's not our hands, God. It's your hands, for the hand of the Lord was upon me, the Bible says. And we set them in office. And we know, Lord, that there needs to be weeks and days ahead where they will just sit before you and receive of this office and this gift. And Father, that they would think, oh, God has come upon me, because I see something has changed inside of me. And I see a greater love and a greater care and a greater unity and a greater peace. Pray for their children, God. Pray for Lisa, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful church, Lord, that's been going 23 or some years. Pray for Andrew and Fee to lead this couple, God. The elders to help them on their journey. But let it be a good one, I pray. These are our prayers. We ask, Lord, thank you for just giving me a minute. Just come brood, Lord, Spirit of God, come brood. Come be, Lord, on this couple. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Would you say amen, church?
Amen.
Would you agree? Can we thank God? Can we thank God?